ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट 13। वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन। इन दिस वे द डीमन पूतना वेरी मच अग्रीव्ड बिकॉज हर ब्रेस्ट वॉज बींग अटैक्ड बाई कृष्णा लॉस्ट हर लाइफ। ओ किंग परीक्षित, ओपनिंग हर माउथ वाइड एंड स्प्रेडिंग हर आर्म्स लेग्स एंड हेयर, शी फेल डाउन इन द पैचरिंग ग्राउंड इन हर ओरिजिनल फॉर्म अस अ राक्षसी। As Vritrasura had fallen when killed by the thunderbolt of Indra. Purport: Putana was a great Rakshasi who knew the art of covering her original form by mystic power. But when she was killed, her mystic power could not hide her, and she appeared in her original form. Oh my God, Hare Krishna. Six devotees. Blessings to say something on this verse. So here we see Putana came in disguise as a beautiful woman, so attractive to everybody. But when the time came, when Krishna started sucking her life here, out of fear and pain, she has to disclose her original form. So we see such instance takes place very often when Shurpanakha came disguised as a beautiful woman, and when Lakshman started hurting her out of pain in front of the Lord, she was also exposed with her ugly form. So it seems like during in front of the Lord in the fearful situation, one cannot hide one's original nature. So one cannot hide one's personality both at the time of fear and also at the time of extreme love and affection. When Lord Krishna assumed the four-armed form in Vrindavan, hiding from the gopis came looking for Krishna, and they saw the form of Lord Vishnu. But then when Srimati Radharani came, Krishna could not hide or could not act like as if his four arms, his two arms melted. So, when there is extreme affection and love, one cannot hide. And also when there is extreme fear also, one cannot hide. So, it symbolically represents that when we are trying to act what we are not in front of the Lord, it is a matter of time that we will be exposed. And Lord is so merciful that he is ready to reveal himself fully and completely for the devotees who have unconditional love for him. So Putana, the Acharya says that she represents the false guru. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Putana represents false guru. And she bewildered the innocent Vrajavasis and they all thought that she is a bona fide personality. She is very favorable for their affection to Krishna. So in this way, she cheated all the Vrajavasis. At least she attempted to cheat them. So similarly, the false gurus, they also posed themselves as if they are bona fide, and in this way they bewildered the people's heart. So today is an auspicious appearance day of another bona fide spiritual master. So I've been asked to speak on this personality, and disappearance day of one of the bona fide acharyas of the Vaishnava Sampradaya, Sripad Ramanujacharya. So I like to make an attempt to discuss some of his pastimes. So Sripad Ramanujacharya approximately born around 1,000 years before in a place called Sri Mahabhutapuri, or now it is called as Sri Perumpudur in South India. And Sripad Ramanujacharya, at the age of 32, he accepted sannyas. After accepting sannyas, in the meantime in Srirangam, there is a big turmoil because of the disappearance of the recent passing of Yamunacharya. They were all looking for a leader. And Yamunacharya, who had come to Kanchipuram, where Ramanujacharya was living, he had already noticed Ramanujacharya to be the next Acharya after him. But seeing him with the company of Yadava Prakash and others who are Mayavadis, Yamunacharya just prayed to Lord Varadaraj that why he is in such a company. So just by the prayer and the desire of a pure devotee like Yamunacharya, it so happened that Ramanujacharya and Yadava Prakash could not stay for a long time together. So Ramanujacharya separated from Yadava Prakash and he had taken sannyas. Then also Ramanujacharya was taken by Mahapurna to go to Srirangam to take darshan of Yamunacharya. And before even Ramanujacharya could reach Yamunacharya, he passes away. And at that time, Ramanujacharya, without even taking darshan of Ranganath, out of painful heart, he returns back to Kanchipuram. He has not even seen Ranganath even once in his life, even though he walked all the way there. And all the disciples of Yamunacharya, such as Mahapurna, Goshtipurna and others, they were all in a painful state that without a leader in for the Vaishnavas, they are very much suffering. And they all concluded that it is very much evident that Yamunacharya instructed us that Ramanuja will be leading the society of Vaishnavas. But Ramanujacharya is still in Kanchipuram. He is not yet come to Srirangam. So we have to do something to bring him back to Srirangam. So they all call Mahapurna and they tell him that please you go to Kanchipuram and somehow or other bring Ramanujacharya to Srirangam. So Mahapurna from Srirangam, all the way he goes to Kanchipuram, and the deity of Kanchipuram is Varadaraj. So Mahapurna goes in front of Varadaraj and begs to Lord Varadaraj that please give Ramanujacharya to Srirangam. So Varadaraj tells him that what do you mean that you can ask anything and everything? How can I leave my dear Ramanujacharya? So please go back and don't ask such kind of things from me again. So Mahapurna goes back and tells his god brothers and others that, you know, this is what happened, that I couldn't get Ramanujacharya. Varadaraj was not ready to give him. So then they all go to the altar of Ranganath in Srirangam and they tell Lord Ranganath that you have to do something, we are helpless, we tried our best to bring Ramanuja back. So then Lord Ranganath tells them that there is one devotee called Vararanga who is a descendant of Nathamuni and he is very expert in singing with devotion the songs of the Alvars. So I give you an order, please tell him to go to Kanchipuram and tell him to sing the glories of Varadaraj and I'm sure he'll be pleased with his singing and he will give Ramanuja to him. So Vararanga now was appointed in the great mission. He went to Kanchipuram in front of Lord Varadaraj. Vararanga started singing very melodiously and with devotion in his heart the songs of the Alvars. And Varadaraj was so moved and happy hearing the song sung by this great devotee and asked Vararanga that, "You have pleased us so much, please ask any benediction you want." So Vararanga tells, "My dear Lord, I can ask the boon, but are you sure that you are going to fulfill my desire?" So Varadaraj tells, "What do you mean that you have done so much, so nice service for me? I am so pleased with you. I'll give you whatever you want. Of course, don't ask me or my Lakshmi. Except this, ask anybody. Some or other, it's yoga maya potency." So at this time, Vararanga took the opportunity and said, "No, no, of course I don't want you to come from here nor Lakshmi. I want both of you stay together, but I just want Ramanuja to Srirangam. He has a lot of work to do there." So then Varadaraj started lamenting, "Alas, how did I forget to add the list Ramanuja's name? I forgot how I'm going to live without him," and he laments. Then Vararanga again started quoting a lot of verses. "You are the Lord who has, you have spoken Sakradeva Prapannaya, and you have spoken that Ramo Dvirna Bibhashate, Ram doesn't speak a wrong word. He doesn't forgo his promise. You are known for your integrity. So how can you, I'm sure that you cannot say no to your own promise. So you have to give him." So in this way, Vararanga keeps telling the glories of the Lord that you cannot say no to anything. You already given promise to me. So then with heavy heart, Varadaraj sends Ramanujacharya to Srirangam. And Ramanujacharya with his few disciples at this time goes to Srirangam and he was given a grand welcome by all the associates of all the disciples of Jamunacharya. And he was taken to the altar of Lord Ranganath. And Ranganath deity also welcomes him. And Lord Ranganath personally arranges a residence for Ramanujacharya. And the deity himself comes along with Ramanujacharya and leaves him back in the matha of his, just behind the temple of Lakshmi in Srirangam. And at that time, Ranganath awards him a title that, "Now onwards, we award you the title Vibhuti Dvaya Nayaka." And the Lord tells that, "I have got two vibhutis, opulence. One is that of the material world, another is that of the spiritual world. And here onwards, I have granted you the authority that whoever, you are the master of this both, Vibhuti Dvaya Nayaka. And whoever you want can go to the spiritual world. I have given this whole authority to you." So in this way, he coronates him as a king of all the Vaishnavas at that time. And gives him a residence and Ranganath orders him that, "Now you spread the Vaishnavism everywhere and rearrange the worship of Ranganath temple. So then Ramanacharya, having had the blessings of the Lord, he starts his mission of rearranging or improving the standard of worship of Ranganath. He divided the deity worship department into the whole temple management into 10 groups, 10 departments, and within that 10 groups he adds furthermore subgroups and appoints various devotees for various services. At that time, because of some reasons, the deity worship system have changed into Pancharatra to Vaikanas Agama style. So Ramanujacharya again brought the deity worship standard to the appropriate Pancharatra standards, which involved certain devotees. Certain devotees did not like this arrangement of Ramanujacharya. So they wanted to, they thought that because of him these things are happening. So they tried to remove him from the intervention of the deity worship. But they saw that Ramanujacharya is very powerful and he's doing everything so nicely. Managerially also he's very skillful. So they thought that we should find some way to finish him off. So they tried to give poison in the Charanamrit. So Ramanujacharya came and he took the Charanamrit, and even though he knows there was a poison in it, he nevertheless drank. And because of his deep devotion, nothing happened to him. Then the same pujaris, some of the pujaris who had a difficulty there, they thought that probably there is not enough poison we put. So because Ramanuja is a sannyasi, he goes for Madhukari, he goes for 7 houses for begging every day. And the pujari told his wife to mix poison in the alms for a sannyasi. And even though he's a Brahmana, because of attachment to his power and prestige, and just because of his identity with the post he had, somehow or other he went into such an extreme act of trying to kill a Brahmana or a sannyasi who came for begging alms in his home. But his wife was very much upset, and she could not digest the fact that how can he put poison in the alms of a sannyasi. So, but fearing the husband's wrath, she added the poison. When she came out for giving the alms, she had tears in her eyes and she started trembling. And somehow or other she gave some indication to Ramanuja that this food is not fit for him to eat. And Ramanuja, seeing the face of this lady and her tears and her bodily gesture, she thought there's something wrong with this food. So he did not eat the food, he just kept the food aside and was just sitting silently under the tree. And then he mixed the poisonous food in the river, which was carried by the river, or poison to its source of the poison to the ocean. And Ramanujacharya felt very bad, not because that he was threatened to be killed, but he felt that I am causing devotees to come to this extreme level of hatredness in their heart. So because of my own fault that I am not able to unite the Vaishnavas, but I am causing negative qualities to sprout in their hearts. And feeling very much depressed about his own incapability, he starts fasting. And disciples also tried their best to, you know, make Ramanuja eat, but he would not eat. Days were passing. And this news reached his spiritual master, one of his spiritual master, Goshtipurna in Tirukoshtiyur. And hearing this news, Goshtipurna comes all the way from Tirukoshtiyur to see Ramanuja and to comfort him from all these things. So when he came, Ramanujacharya heard that Goshtipurna is coming from Trikoshtiyu. So Ramanujacharya with his disciples, he went to receive Goshtipurna from the outskirts of the town Srirangam. And at that time it was summer time, it was scorching heat, and there was not so much water in the river, so much of sand. So Srirangam being the island, one has to cross the river. So they are waiting on the northern bank of the Kaveri River. And Goshtipurna came. And as soon as Ramanujacharya saw Goshtipurna, as a tradition, he paid his full obeisances at the lotus feet of his spiritual master. And it is a tradition that unless the spiritual masters, either by a gesture or by words, gives his blessings, one cannot get up from paying obeisances. So Goshtipurna was silently standing, and Ramanujacharya is not getting any indications to get up from the obeisances posture. So, and on the top sun is scorching, and from below it's hot sand, his body is getting scorched. But Goshtipurna was telling nothing. It went on for some time. And all the disciples are out very fearful. Now if I say that to Goshtipurna, he's known for his very different kind of personality, Goshtipurna, he may become angry, and how can we tell anything to our Paramguru? So they could not say anything. Neither they could tell Ramanujacharya to get up. Telling something to spiritual masters is also very difficult. But among the one disciple of Ramanujacharya, his name is Pranarthihara, out of spontaneous affection for his spiritual master, he shouts at Goshtipurna, "Is this the way of spiritual master and disciple behave? We hope that we are going to come here to comfort our spiritual master, but is he going to live anymore?" And saying like this, he just grabs Ramanujacharya by force and picks him on his own body. And keeping him on top of his body, he pays obeisances to Goshtipurna. "If this is what you want, I can do that instead of him." So at this time, Goshtipurna breaks his silence and picks up both of them and tells Ramanujacharya that, "I was just testing to know amongst all these devotees who has a special affection for you, spontaneous affection for you. So now onwards, you don't go for any madhukari. Pranarthihara, this devotee will be a cook for you." So in this way, this devotee, Pranarthihara, became the personal cook of Ramanujacharya. And Goshtipurna comforted everybody. And Ramanujacharya continued his management of the temple. But in due course of time, slowly and steadily, the temple and the pujari also became very ashamed. His heart got transformed. He begged forgiveness from Ramanujacharya. And deity worship standard became very well established. In fact, Ramanujacharya had a heart of very hardcore, strict manager. At the same time, he had a heart of a soft mother. So, one devotee who was given the service of bringing coconut tubs, this coconut water for the Lord, he was not actually a Brahmana. So they decided that we should remove this person and put somebody who is more qualified. So Ramanujacharya just called the coconut person that who brings coconut and asked him that, "Tell me that which coconut you will bring for the Lord." So he said that he did not say, "I will bring this coconut or that coconut." He said, I'll bring the coconut which will be pleasing to the Lord." He did not say sweet or salty, whatever. He didn't say anything. He just said, "I want to bring coconut which will be pleasing to the Lord." Then Ramanujacharya said, "That's it, I want." He has a mood of service, so let him continue the service. So he did not change him, even though he's not a Brahmana. And there was a... At that time, the pujaris of Ranganath temple, some of them are very spontaneous. When they offer the bhoga to the Lord, the deity, sometime they would eat Mahaprasad there itself. This was going on, it's not a new thing happening, it's going on from long time. So, and this news reached Ramanujacharya that Mahaprasadam is getting disappeared before it comes out of the altar or somewhere. So Ramanujacharya wanted to correct the situation. So at particular time, at right time, Ramanujacharya found that this time it's getting disappeared. So he went to found what is happening. And this pujari who would steal the Mahaprasadam, he did same thing like as usual, as regular as he does. And then he came to know that Ramanujacharya is going to come at that time. He just finished the prasadam. Then he was so fearful that the vessel from where he has eaten is still there and the prasadam has disappeared now. So Ramanujacharya generally doesn't come into the altar at this time. He's going to come now. He got the news. So he was so much trembling and fearful. I think this is the end of my service. So he was so fearful and he was started pleading to the Lord, please Lord do something, you know, I have done this mistake, you know, he just said something and then Ramanujacharya comes inside and he checks where is the Mahaprasadam and what this pujari did was, they got this different vessels for the Lord, you know, as pujaris we offer Argya in one vessel and Padya and Achamani and different vessels are there and all the water which Argya, Padya, Achamaniya we offer to the Lord, we are collected in a bigger vessel in the temple standard there. That vessel is a huge, it's a little bigger and kept below. Because throughout the day, all the pujas, all the waters, Maha water of the Lord is put in front of, in this big pot. So this Mahaprasad vessel from where he has eaten, he put this vessel inside that pot and covered it with the lid. That means the pot is inside the water. Hope he thought that hopefully this won't be found. So Ramanujacharya came and he saw that the Argya Patra is there, the Achamaniya Patra is there, and the Mahaprasadam was there. Because this vati is whole thing is missing. So they don't know what happened to that. Then all other prasadams are intact, and of course one pot is missing, but it was not to be seen at all. So this pujari was, you know, trembling and he was just praying to the Lord. And Ramanujacharya saw everything and as expert as he was, he just opened that lid of the Visarjaniya Patra where the Maha water is collected. And below the water one can easily see the golden pot which is from where the prasadam is eaten. And the pujari is trembling, what will happen? But for the surprise of the pujari, when Ramanujacharya opened the plate, the whole water was covered with the flowers. And the vati below the water could not be seen. So then he covered it back and Ramanujacharya understood what had happened. And he knows that there is, the vati is below, the pot is below that water is covered by flowers. But he also understood that Lord is trying to protect the pujari. So Ramanujacharya just looked at the Lord and asked him that, what is this? I am trying to maintain the standard, but you are supporting the pujari. And the Lord smiles and tells Ramanuja, what can I do? Aham archaka paradhina. I am subservient, I am sold out to my servants, the pujaris. So, and the pujari becomes so kind of embarrassed and becomes overwhelmed with affection. And Ramanujacharya did not have to tell him anything. He automatically changed his attitude. So in this way, Ramanujacharya was staying in Srirangam itself and he was establishing the deity worship standard very nicely, managing the temple and things are... And one devotee who is a pujari of Lakshmi, he was not willing to accept the changes. And that's another big hurdle for Ramanujacharya. And he is trying his best to change him, but he was not changing. So Ramanujacharya becomes so upset and came to Ranganath and Lakshmi told them that I am trying to change the deity worship standards here because that was an order given to me by you yourself. But some of them are not cooperating with me. So if this is what your desire that you want to keep them the way they are doing. So let me as well go back to Kanchipuram. I am going back. The Lord become very upset and he feels very bad that Ramanuja will leave. So then he inspires his disciple Kuresh, and Kuresh comes to Ramanujacharya and tells him that, my dear Lord, please don't go to Kanchipuram, please stay further. Soon things will change. The Lord will reciprocate with you. So then this pujari who happened to lose his mother. So for the Sharda ceremony, he has to call one Brahmana to his house for prasadam. 13th day or some particular day. And Kuresh was called for that prasadam, accepting that prasad. And those times the Brahmanas are very strict. They don't easily accept such invitations, because going for such ceremonies means you are partaking a heavy karma. And such Brahmanas who are accepting such visit would not go to any other such visit for 1 year. You know, because they have to, if they keep going there, so sometimes we don't realize the eating habits are very strict at those times. So they are very careful accepting the food. So this is a big favor he is doing for this devotee. So Kuresh was agreed, and he went to this house of the pujari, and he gave the offering, bhoga, prasadam he offered. Even though it is a prasadam, it was offered to him. And Kuresh took the prasadam. At the end of the prasadam, there is one tradition that the host would ask the brahmana that, are you satisfied? Triptosi. So then the brahmana who has accepted the invitation has to tell, triptosmi, I am satisfied. This has to. Nowadays this happens as a custom. Are you satisfied? And they ask as a formality, and people also say, I am satisfied. You know. So when this pujari asked, are you satisfied? Kuresh, right on his face, he told that, I am not satisfied. And this was a big shock for this pujari, that if he is not satisfied, his whole ceremony is waste. So then this pujari asked, what can I do to satisfy you? So the Kuresh asked that nothing I want from you, just one small thing. Just give the key for the temple to me. He's a pujari of the Lakshmi altar. So give the key. I want the key as a dakshina for this service I've done to you. So he was helpless. He has to do, otherwise the whole ceremony is lost. So he gives a key to Kuresh. And somehow by this act of giving the key, his heart becomes so transformed. And he accepts Kuresh as his Shiksha Guru. And then with heart transformed, Kuresh brings him to Ramanujacharya. And tells Ramanujacharya, here your main obstacle. Now he is offering his heart to you. And Ramanujacharya embraces Kuresh and this pujari. And this pujari later wrote an important work on the glorification of Ramanujacharya. His heart was so transformed, he wrote the glories of Ramanujacharya in 108 verses. And showed those poems to Ramanujacharya, which is filled with the glories of Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya saw these writings, and he saw that the whole verse is filled with his own glorification. He took those writings, these palm leaves, and broke it into pieces and threw it. He said that, I am not going to accept such writings. It's filled with my own glories. How can I accept this? It's impossible. So then this pujari heart was broken. He has so much affection for Ramanuja. From one extreme, he came to this extreme. Then he devised a plan, and he further composed another 108 verses, in which he, in the first two lines, he glorified the Lord and the previous Acharyas. And then the next two lines, he glorified Ramanuja. Pumannu madu purundiya marban, puhal malinda pamannu maran, adipanindu indavan, palgalayor namannu vanda, Ramanujan namam sollungal aval namangali. So in this way he wrote, he said that the Lord who has Lakshmi in his chest is glorified by great Acharyas such as Namaldwar, the previous Acharyas. And in this Namalwar's lotus feet, our dear Ramanuja has found a refuge. He has taken shelter of the lotus feet of this Namalwar. And I am inviting all of you to chant glories of his holy name. Let's all glorify Ramanujacharya. So now when he wrote 108 verses in this style. First two lines glorifying the Lord and previous Acharyas. Next two lines glorifying Ramanuja's deeds. And then he showed these verses to Ramanujacharya. And now Ramanuja cannot throw it or he cannot break it into pieces because it's not just his glories. It's glories of the previous Acharyas also. And it's a fact that Ramanuja have taken shelter of the previous Acharyas. And then further it goes that, you know, this Ramanuja has broken the sins of the living entities and brought everybody close to the Lord. Such glories. He converted the Mayavadis into Vaishnavas. So many glories. But before that, glories of the previous Acharyas and the Lord. So Ramanujacharya, then he became very satisfied and pleased. And then he told his disciples that, now onwards, these verses will be the... All my disciples can recite these verses as part of their daily routine. And this became very famous as Prapanna Gayatri, the Gayatri for those who are taken shelter of Ramanuja. So in this way we can see the extreme transformation. At one point of time he was a hurdle for Ramanujacharya's service to the Lord, and another time by his own example and his behavior, Ramanujacharya transformed his heart that he is offering such a great offering to his spiritual master. And Ramanujacharya did not do it. He had a heart of, even though he is Acharya and spiritual master, he had a heart of not doing everything independently what he thinks, but he also asked the suggestion of his own disciples. Kuresh forbid him to go to Kanchipuram and he told him to stay further. And he even agreed to his disciple also. And this way, he transformed the Srirangam into a beautiful place of worship, standard of worship. And then, after doing all these things, he still has in mind that he has to perform many other services to fulfill his promises to his spiritual master. So he then composed his, other than the managerial point of view, as a sannyasi, it is said in the scriptures that a brahmanas should contribute some writings to the society, especially a sannyasi. So he wrote 9 books, Ramanujacharya, and the major book he wrote was the Sri Bhashya. And having completed his Sri Bhashya with the help of Kuresh, Ramanujacharya went for preaching all over India. And he established center everywhere. He visited from Badrinath till Kanyakumar, visited all the places. He went to Ayodhya, he went to Gaya, he went to Badrinath, he went to Prayag, he went to Vrindavan, Govardhan, Mathura, all the places. Then he even went to Simhachalam and all the places, then came back to Srirangam. And then when he came back, he accomplished his task and defeated so many Mayavadis in debate. And then having accomplished his task, he was getting very old at that time. And one particular day, he went to the altar of Ranganath and Lakshmi. There he, once in a year, both deities come together, Lakshmi and Ranganath. At that time, he took the opportunity and went in front of the Lord and offered beautiful prayers to them, still glorified as Gadhyatrayam. And in that prayer, basically offered all the faults of his own and he asked forgiveness from the Lord. And he also offered his heart that he wants to come back to their spiritual abode. And Lord told him that, my dear Ramanuja, then why you want to come so... At this time, Ramanujacharya was 120 years old. Why you want to come back to us so fast? We wanted to do some more with you. We wanted to deliver the fallen souls. You have many more works to do in the world. But then Ramanuja said that my heart is now feeling so much separation of you, so please bestow me the spiritual world. So then Lord tells, okay, from the seventh day, from now onwards, we will offer you the spiritual world. You can come back to the spiritual world. And Ramanujacharya, at that day, he came out of Srirangam temple altar as if a poor man gets a huge acres of land. He was so happy and jubilant. So he came out and he was so jubilant, and he called all the disciples, and they didn't know what happened with the Lord and him, that he is going back to Godhead sooner. And he started giving various instructions. So these instructions are recorded in the biographies of Ramanujacharya, and these instructions are condensed instruction of all the teachings he has given. So he gave 72 instructions to them. Some of the instructions are very pertinent to our own spiritual life. So he, Ramanujacharya, says that please treat your God brothers as good as or as respectful as your spiritual masters, especially the senior God brothers. And please never ever think of finding fault with the Vaishnavas, because that will spoil your spiritual life. And always be respectful to other Vaishnavas, and one should be careful not even to disrespect a materialist in front of a Vaishnava. One should be respectful to everybody else. And he says that be careful in finding fault with other Vaishnavas, and he gives 12 kinds of Vaishnava apuradha one can perform based on judging the others in a wrong way. He says, don't judge a Vaishnava by seeing the externals, such as because he is born in a particular family, because of his birth, this person is coming from a very high birth, so he is a great Vaishnava, but this person is not so great Vaishnava. Don't judge a Vaishnava based on birth. And don't judge based on their body. Some may be having a beautiful body, fair complexion. Some may have a dark complexion. Some may have a deformed body. So don't judge a Vaishnava based on their bodily appearance. And don't judge a Vaishnava based on their stages of their lives. Oh, he is a very old person. What he does know, or he is a very young person, he doesn't know anything. Don't judge them based on their stages of their lives. And don't judge a Vaishnava based on their ashramas. He is a sannyasi, so he is great, and he is just a grihastha, he doesn't know anything. And don't base on a Vaishnava by the external appearance. So he always sleeps a lot, or he always eats too much. So don't judge based on these external habits. And don't judge based on vasa nirupana, that he is, oh, this Vaishnava is staying in a holy place such as, you know, Srirangam or Vrindavan or, you know, some other places, and he is coming from an ordinary place. And don't judge a Vaishnava based on bandhu nirupana, bandhu, oh, he is a relative of this very great devotee. And don't judge a Vaishnava based on his special services. He does intimate service to the Lord, you know. He offers arati to the Lord, but he is just cleaning the toilet. Or he is just doing some other menial services. Don't judge based on the occupation of the Vaishnava. Oh, he is just working for, in an apparently materialistic way, but he is doing a different occupation. And don't judge on the apparent behavior of the Lord, such as that, you know, and the Pandavas did gambling, or Draupadi had 5 wives, or Lord Shiva is, you know, having extreme behavior, such things. So in this way, he gave instructions on the etiquette and behavior of the Vaishnavas. And then he said that you should associate with Vaishnavas so carefully that when you see, he gave them the science of how to associate with the people in general. He said, if you see the non-devotees or envious people, the pratikulas, You should feel as if that you find some snake or scorpion. You should be very really fearful of them. And when you see the dear Vaishnavas, you should feel as if that you applied, as if you see the object of enjoyment such as sandalwood or cool breeze or, you know, opulent food. You should feel so happy when you see Vaishnavas. And when you see those who are materialistic but not envious, you can behave in a neutral way. But if they are very much favorable, you should be happy to give them the spiritual knowledge. In this way, you should behave with Vaishnavas. And then when the devotee disciples started hearing such instructions, they all become very much so happy and elated. At the same time, they came to Ramanujacharya and told him that, "We never seen you giving such concentrated instruction so much for us, that what is the reason that your behavior is suddenly different than usual behavior?" Then Ramanujacharya said that, "Now I should not hide anything further than them." Then he tells them that third day from today, we decided to go to the spiritual world. And as soon as the disciples hear, they all broke into tears and they could not take it and they started crying. And they told Ramanujacharya that, "How is it possible that we just cannot live without you? So please don't go." Then Ramanujacharya tells that don't become sentimental, that the separation from this body is always a fact. And you should take this and you should try to follow my instructions. At that time the disciples again asked Ramanujacharya, "Please tell us more how we should keep our life in your absence." Ramanujacharya tells that, "My instructions for you is that please don't worry about your material progress or the maintenance of this body. The body is anyway taken care by your past karma. The body, the Deha Yatra is carried by the past karmas. If you want to get something good, you will get. If you want to get something bad, you will get bad. So this is more or less taken care by your past karma. So don't become anxious to solve the material necessities of your life. That is karma adhina. And as well as through your spiritual advancement of going back to Godhead, the Atma Yatra, that is Bhagavat Adhina. That is actually under the control of the Lord. If he wants, he will take you. If he doesn't want, he will keep you for many more lifetime to come. So don't become anxious for that also." So then the disciples are confused that, is it okay to say that don't bother about your material situation that is based on your karma? But only thing in our life is that our desire to go to the spiritual world, our desire to, you know, get out of this material world. But Ramanuja is telling that don't even anxious about that. But then Ramanuja, the disciples ask, "But my dear Gurudev, what should we actually concern about during our life?" So Ramanujacharya tells, "Your only concern should be that how we can execute service to the Lord and their devotees. That should be your real concern. If you are becoming concerned towards maintenance of your material situation, then it leads to that you are becoming a Gnostic. Because an atheist doesn't know. He always thinks that everything is happening because of his work or his endeavor. Nothing is happening because of his bad mistakes, his punyas and papa. You'll become an atheist if you don't accept piety and sin. And if you think that by your endeavor or your execution of your effort, you will go to the spiritual world, or if you are anxious about going to the spiritual world by your endeavor, then your complete taking shelter, atma samarpana, unto the will of the Lord will be spoiled. In this way, your quality of being a Vaishnava, that Swarupa Nash will happen. So you should not be bothering about your own perfection, neither you should be bothering about the perfection of the material situation. Both are under the control of the Lord and the material nature. Or your only concern should be that how you can render service to the devotees and the Lord. And hearing such instruction, the devotees are becoming more and more simultaneously they are happy and they are feeling separation from their dear spiritual master. Then Ramanujacharya calls all the pujaris from the temple, all the devotees, and tells them that I have, in order to serve Lord Ranganath and the devotees, in the effort of my preaching this message, I have offended many of you, so please forgive me. So when Ramanujacharya spoke these words, all the devotees and disciples, they burst out crying that, how is it possible that you can perform any offense? You are the light of the whole world. What offenses you can perform? And then Ramanujacharya, with tears in his eyes, he calls all of them and tells them that please accept this Parashara Bhattar, who is a son of Kuresh, as your leader. Even though he is very young, please cooperate with him and accept him as your leader. And with that old age, just 2 days further he is going to stay, he goes to the temple of Ranganath with all his disciples and devotees. And even though he is a leader of the society, he takes the first Sharanamrita and first garland. And that day he makes Parashara Bhattar to accept all the first offerings. And after him, Ramanujacharya sets example that he accepts after him and shows others that I myself accept him as the leader of our society now. So please follow him, accept him as your leader. And he calls all the pujaris that when you are serving Lord Ranganath in managing the temple, please keep Parashara Bhattar in the front and with cooperatively serve the Lord. And in this way, when he established all the systems and he spoke to the devotees, he comes back to the Matha and he takes fine bath, puts tilak on his body. And even though he was so old, he performed his daily ritual as a sadhana. Even though he is so old, he was not even able to walk or stand up. He still stands up and performs his oblations in the water as a duty of a brahmana, and showed that the regulations of devotional service is shown should continue. Even he may be at the stage that he has perfected his life, as an example he performed, even though it is not necessary for him. And all the devotees, at this time Ramanujacharya is just few hours more remaining, he called all the devotees and told them that if any of you try to give up your body because of I am leaving all of you, if any of you attempted to commit suicide, I proclaim that you all have given up your relationship with our whole sampradaya. Not only with me, but you have given up your relation with the whole sampradaya. And he called most of the devotees who are very dear to him and practically told them to give promise to them that they will continue his mission and they will not do such activities of giving up their own body in his separation. And then he called the devotees on that particular day and told them to take sumptuous prasadam. And after they have taken sumptuous prasadam, he told them to bring the sandals of Mahapurna, his spiritual master, and within his heart meditating on the form of Jamunacharya and keeping the sandals of Mahapurna in front of him, Ramanujacharya on a Saturday noon in the month of Pushya, he went to the spiritual world. And as soon as he went to the spiritual world, all the disciples all started crying. They could not function at all. And hearing this news, Ranganath deity came to this 1000-pillar mandapa next to the Ramanujacharya's mat, and he sent from his temple all the offerings, such as his flowers, his maha cloth, and his garlands. And when it reached, with all musical sound it went, and all the devotees were shaken up by hearing the musical sound, and they all got up and we should perform the last rite. And they kept Ramanuja's body on a beautiful flower decorator, like it was like an airship. They put his body and took him all around the Srirangam temple, and all the brahmanas are chanting Vedic hymns and Divya Prabandhams. And when they went like this, they are showering flowers and the ladies were carrying lamps, beautiful lamps, and kalashas in their hand. And then when the whole procession is done, Ranganath tells them that generally the dead body is cremated or buried outside the town, But Ramana tells them that please bring Ramanuja's body inside my temple courtyard. And where he performs this Vasantotsava, the spring pastime, in that very same place, Ranganath offers him a place. And there his body was given samadhi. And then after samadhi is done, his disciple establishes a deity of Ramanujacharya in that place, having taken permission from Ranganath. And after this happened, all the devotees, the Lord himself, and that day he tells that, I myself feeling very sad, and this is my separation, and the Lord in the Vaikuntha is rejoicing by the company of Ramanuja, and Lord forbids the pujari to offer any opulent bhogas on that day, and he also just takes little water and goes to the altar. But later, after some days, all the devotees who become, they just come out of this separation of Ramanuja by saying Parashara Bhattar, and hearing the instruction, they somehow or other able to console themselves by talking about the instructions of Ramanujacharya and the activities of Ramanujacharya and seeing the deity form. And the community of Vaishnava slowly came out of this separation of Ramanujacharya. And they conclude that such an acharya's life cannot be replaced, but only way we can sustain our life is by following his instructions. So in this way, Ramanujacharya passed on this particular month on this disappearance day. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have accepted the two important principles from his sampradaya, that is service to the Vaishnavas and pure devotional service. And I just conclude by saying that in Srila Prabhupada's life also we can see such similarities. Ramanujacharya took sannyas, leaving his wife in a very tricky way. So Prabhupada also left his wife more or less like, you are myself are tea. And Ramanujacharya had a big trouble with this Chola king, and Prabhupada and fought with him, and Prabhupada fought with Mr. Nair, taking shelter of Narsingadev. And Ramanujacharya built, established so many deity worship standards all over the world. Prabhupada established temples all over the world, composed many books, each of them composed many books. And Ramanujacharya, at the time of his leaving his body, he called everybody and told them, asked them begging forgiveness. Srila Prabhupada also did the same thing. When he was leaving his body, he called his godbrothers and asked for begging forgiveness. So in this way, all the acharyas in their life, they have done very similar things, because they have love for Krishna. So by talking about them and remembering their qualities in such auspicious day, even though we don't have any of those qualities, but we hope we will develop some of these qualities. Hare Krishna. Sorry, I've taken a little over time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shripad Ramanujacharya ki jai.